Good morning, everybody, from Royal Randwick Racecourse. It's the Spring Carnival launch, and we're looking forward to being here right through till around 1 o'clock today. And a lot of work is being done here at the moment, preparing for the launch that begins around 10:45 to be hosted by our very own Richard Friedman. We'll be talking to many personalities between now and 1 o'clock as we broadcast here from the race day stalls at Royal Randwick. It's Andrew Bensley and it's Racing HQ, and it's good to welcome into our OB van here at Randwick, Sam Clippett. And morning to you, Sam.
Good morning, Andrew. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for dropping in. Track work this morning?
Yeah, track work this morning at Randwick for the old boss, Ron. So that went all smoothly, and heading down to Goulburn today for hopefully a couple of winners.
We'll talk about Goulburn shortly. Sam, you must be really wrapped where you are at the moment in your riding career.
Yeah, things have been going really well, particularly since I've come out of my time. Recently, at the turn of the season, completed my first full season as a senior rider, and I really only set myself one goal for my first season as a senior jockey, and that was to ride more winners in a season than what I did as an apprentice, and I did that quite convincingly. So into the new season, got a couple of bigger and better goals, and hopefully I can achieve them.
Well, you've got to have goals, haven't you? Where you are at the moment, riding regularly for Godolphin, we know that James McDonald's their number one chosen jockey, but there are so many other horses that he can't ride them all, basically, can he?
No, that's right. I've been very fortunate to being given plenty of opportunities by John O'Shea and Godolphin, and yeah, it's a privilege to be able to ride for such a big, dominant and global operation like Godolphin, and as I said, they've been giving me plenty of opportunities, and it's a real privilege.
So take us through your week. How do you work it out? Like you say, you were at track work here this morning, but tell us where you go for track work during the week.
I basically only do ride track work for Ron Quinton and John O'Shea.
Okay.
Tuesday is the first morning of the week that I start. I go out to Warwick Farm and have a big morning out there at the Warwick Farm stable for John, and then Wednesday, Thursday, I'm riding work for Ron, and while I'm at Randwick, if any other trainer like John Sargent or Peter Snowden, Les Bridge want me to jump on one, I will. Some Fridays I head out to Agnes Banks and do jump outs at Godolphin, and then Saturday back to Ron. So it's all about settling into a real routine, and once you find that routine, you can settle into a groove and just do whatever works for you.
So here at Randwick, Ron Quinton here, we'll talk about the relationship with you and Ron and how it all began shortly, but riding track work here as you do at Randwick, there's all sorts of different tracks, facilities that are there. Obviously, the Kensington track has been looked at into the future, but the other tracks, it gives you plenty of variety for the horses to keep them happy.
Yeah, definitely. Randwick's a great facility for trainers to have their horse, well, for owners in connection to have their horses trained at. As you said, there's plenty of training tracks, and you know, you're in the heart of the eastern suburbs here, so the horses enjoy it. They get plenty of sun, and you know, as I said, I ride work for Ron, and Ron's stables are up at the top there on Wansea Road there, and they've got lovely big yards, and they look right over the racecourse. So Ron's got a good setup there. He's only got a small but select team. He's got
telling us the other day, 25.
Yeah, he's got 25 horses in work, and his team's been going really well at the moment. He's having a lot of success, and me and Ron have a very strong relationship. He's like a dad to me. So to have his full support, it's very special.
Tell us, Sam, where have you? When we're talking with Sam Clipperton, for people that may have just jumped into our Racing HQ program, where do you come from, Sam? And are you from a racing family?
Not at all, actually. I come from the northern beaches of Sydney.
Okay.
So probably should have been a surfer or something like that, but I always rode horses as a kid. I grew up riding equestrian and show jumping and eventing.
And where did that come from?
Just always had a love of horses. When I was about five, I just was, you know, nagging mum and dad to get riding lessons. And, you know, I was never into to football or surfing or anything like that, like I probably should have been coming from the northern beaches. But, you know, my true love was always the horses. And and started getting riding lessons and just caught the bug and just went from there. And natural progression, as I said, through eventing and show jumping.
Yeah, you got into it.
I was always very small and loved going fast. So the obvious thing to...
Yeah, get on the back of a horse.
That's it.
It's something, you hear it, and I ask it occasionally as well, and you hear us all in the media, when you ride a horse that's got that zoom and you win a race, it's hard for a jockey to actually relate how it feels to be on a horse.
Yeah.
Like how quick you're going, that sensation.
That's right. I was only thinking about that the other day. When you're actually in a race, you're so focused, zoned in to what you're doing. The sensation of the speed and the power and what's going on around you, it kind of, as I said, you're so focused on the race, you kind of lose that sensation of how quick you're actually going. And it's funny, when you stand on the at the fence and watch a race go past, that buzz never goes away. Every time you watch, when you're not in a race and you get a chance to watch a race go past, it's like, feels like you're a kid again actually watching the horses zoom past. So
I always get asked, and everyone knows my big frame, but everyone asks me, have you ever ridden a horse? And I must admit I haven't. Maybe I'll do it one day, but the poor horse probably doesn't want me to. But it'd give me some sort of feel. I think the jockey cams, I think, have helped a great deal, that we can actually feel if the vision shows you're making a tight run or whatever, it has opened that up, that we can see what you're going through.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea, the jockey cam, because he said a lot of people don't, and especially the outsiders that don't know racing, don't understand the tactics what's involved in a race. People watch a race and think it's just a bunch of horses running in a pack, but it's not that at all. And I think the jockey cam and even the helicopter cam can really shows how tight we ride and the dangers that goes into the sport.
Do we ride too tight? I mean, you watch racing around the world. Do we have the tendency here in Australia, do you feel, of riding too tight?
Oh, look, I can't really make a comment on that. I've only ridden in Australia and New Zealand for that matter. But it's just
the way it
is. It's just
here
the way
in
it
Australia.
Is. It's racing. I suppose the old NASCAR saying rubbing's racing. I suppose it's very competitive and it's very cutthroat, and that's just what it is.
How was Mum and Dad when you were wanting to be a jockey? Were they okay with that?
No, they were fully supportive. That's one thing I had. I had the full support of my parents, and obviously had to leave school very early. Left school at the end of year 9, but one thing about me, I knew exactly what I wanted to do and threw myself into it 120%. So Mum and Dad were very supportive. Yeah.
So what was the first thing? Because right now there are apprentice schools for young kids that want to get into riding. We have them 2 or 3 times a year. How did you make that first step?
Yeah, actually, well, there was a course out at Warwick Farm, like a talent cert or an employee course sort of thing.
Yeah.
Got in through that through Maurice Logue. And I actually started, I had no idea it was on, I actually started about 3 days late, but Ron just happened to be one of the instructors out there, and I went out there and with Malcolm as well. Malcolm Johnston. And just seemed to click with Ron straight away. Just loved the riding. Every day we were riding, and that course went for 4 weeks. And I got sent, after that course had finished, got sent to John O'Shea's for work experience, which I suppose where the connection started there.
And he was based here at Randwick?
He was based here at Randwick at the time. Then I was sent to Peter Nestor's for 2 weeks work experience.
And at Dubbo?
Up at Dubbo, And originally I was supposed to go there and start there, which they always like apprentices to start out the country and get good grounding and learn your craft. Peter didn't have a spot for me for another month, so I had already left school and, was doing nothing at home, and received a phone call from Ron one afternoon and asked what I was doing and where I was at. And at the time, he had a track work rider that was away, and he asked if I would like to come into his stables and just for a couple of weeks until Peter can take me on and just learn the ropes and start getting a feel for it. And basically just never left Ron's. I was there for 5 years.
So that's how it started with Ron Quinton.
Yeah, that's
You must look back and think, geez, I'm glad I walked into Ron Quinton on that first morning of school.
Yeah, I was blessed. I ended up moving in with Ron and his wife Margaret lived with them for 3.5 years, which was great.
Fantastic.
They took me in as their own. They treated me as their own, and you know, I've gained a very special relationship with Ron and Margaret, and as I said, they're like my second parents. They're very special
fantastic.
To me.
Sam, the relationship with Godolphin, as pardon me, as it stands right now, you ride track work, you're riding in horses. I guess this is something that has fallen on your lap as well. You're a good, consistent rider, and John O'Shea, he was telling me the other day, Patrick, I don't want to embarrass you, but I am in some way, but they're very keen to use Patrick Maloney down in Melbourne. He's riding Furnaces on Saturday. That he relates you and Patrick a bit together, that you're good, solid kids and you love riding and you're consistent riders, that you do it. You must be right now enjoying it, going out and riding for the Blue.
Yeah, definitely. And as I've said before, every time you put on the Royal Blue colours, it gives you a sense of confidence.
Yep.
And it gives you confidence in your riding ability that they're putting you on in the first place. You know, you must be doing something right. So, you know, that's one thing that I work very hard on is trying to stay consistent in my riding, which can be very hard because, you know, as all jockeys do, you go through good patches and bad patches. But, you know, just try and keep consistent. They give me a lot of opportunities and I just try to make the most of every opportunity I get given.
Complacence, one that they tossed and turned. They put in a late entry for Melbourne, but you're jumping aboard Complacent there on Saturday in the feature, the Chelmsford. It'll be interesting to see now second up after such a long break, how he, if he can make that second up improvement.
Yeah, definitely. I trialled this horse before his first up run, and it wasn't a bad trial. As you said, he's had a long time off. Things didn't exactly go to plan for him in his first up run. He was scooted off the track by the horse that unfortunately broke down, Berbero. But look, he's drawn a relatively good gate. If he can just have some sort of nice, cosy run and get him to hit the line and put forward an encouraging run for the future, well, I'm sure that'll have John very happy.
I was talking to John O'Shea off air this morning. Araki, he's really sweating on a couple of scratchings in the tramway. The backup is to maybe run in the Theo Marks at 1300, but that's not really an ideal sort of trip for a Derby horse going into his four-year-old life first up.
Yeah, that's right. I tell you what, I'm really looking forward to riding this horse. I'm also sweating on a couple of scratchings. But I won on this horse, I think it was his second career start back in November. And that's actually the only time I've ridden him in a race. Mm. And he won very impressive. He was strung up in traffic and had to weave through runners. And he won like a good horse, which he is, and he's gone on to run third in the Derby, and he's had two very, very solid trials this time in, and look, if he happens to get a run on Saturday, he's going to be screaming home, that's for sure.
All right, we cross the fingers. As I say, the backup's running next week in the 1300 metres, but talking to John, he's very keen to get into the weekend. Is there one or two other horses from Godolphin that we're going to see? Their numbers are so large, we're seeing a lot of trialers now. Is there one or two that you've been aboard that our listeners should be following?
Look, they got a lot of ammo, and sometimes it's hard to remember their names. You get on, you're always on and off horses at track work, and you can forget them at times. But they've got a big team, a big strong team coming up for the spring and the autumn, for that matter. And you know, it's no secret how Contributor and Hartnell have been trialing. They're very exciting horses, and you know, even the horse that I won on Saturday, the two horses that I won on Saturday, Magic Hurricane and Exosphere, they're very exciting prospects. And
well, from a Golden Rose point of view, Exosphere is going to be James McDonald. Joe Maria is going on Shards, and you've got the opportunity of riding Holler, which is probably the horse off. I mean, Exosphere was so strong to win, but Holler's going to be second up match fitness, and it went led for a fair way the other day.
Yeah, he put in a good effort, Holler, and you know, I think John and the team have probably worked out how he likes to be ridden. He's a bit of a roller.
Yep.
And that worked on Saturday. He put in a great run. He was in front all right up till about the 100 metres. And to get the opportunity to ride him is awesome. And you know, if he can have some sort of nice run up handy in the field, and if he gets a nice soft sectional somewhere there, well, he's going to be in it for a long way.
Yeah, for sure. There are a couple. Now, today, our listeners would love to... Sam Clipperton still joining us. Sam, you've got four rides today, and San Siro here for race five, number one at Goulburn for Godolphin. Looks to be one of the main chances.
Yeah, he's probably my leading hope for the day. his last start at Canterbury was a gallant effort where he ran third and probably didn't exactly have a nice soft run. He was taken on up early in the lead. So going down to Goulburn today looks a nice step down in grade, and I'm very confident about his chances today.
All right, so that's race five, number one. Do you feel that's the best? You're riding a horse for John Thompson, who's going to join us later in the morning. Alpina, number 10 in the third.
Yeah, her form doesn't read overly strong, but I had a good chat to John this morning, and he said that she's working very well at home, and asked me to ride her a bit more aggressive manner. So look, if she can bring a work to the racetrack, well, she's going to be one of the leading chances for sure.
All right, work there, but clearly race five, number one, Godolphin is the best of those, mate. We thank you for coming in. I know you got to get on the bike to Goulburn. Safe travels up there, mate. Good luck for the rest of the spring. We're here today. All the work's being wrapped up here. There's a coffee machine over there which might get a run shortly, but we wish you the best, mate. It's spring carnival time. There's nothing like all of this happening. You're going to be on some very nice horses. It'll be interesting to see what Ron Quinton does with Let's Make It Rain. When I told him yesterday how many horses had dropped out of the rows, he started to rethink about running the horse in the race now.
Yeah, it's funny you say that, actually, because I had a chat to him this morning about Let's Make It Rain, and look, he didn't give much away, typical Ron Quinton style, it's going to be an interesting sort of race with what horses actually do end up running. So, exciting times ahead, and hopefully I can kick a few goals.
Yeah, good luck, mate, and we thank you for coming down here and having a chat to us.
Thanks for having me, Andrew.
Good on you, Sam. Sam Clipperton joining us in our outside broadcast fam with the very latest on his career, learning a bit more about him. As I say, the launch here of the Australian Turf Club Sydney Spring Carnival happens from around 10:30, quarter to 11. We're going to be joined in the next 10 minutes by Darren Pearce, the CEO of the Australian Turf Club, and Glenn Munsey's popped in. We're going to talk to Glenn, Tommy Berry, Hugh Bowman, John Thompson, Gay Waterhouse, Peter Snowden. They'll be all dropping in through the morning here live from Randwick. We'll take a little break from Racing HQ.
Bringing you your daily fix of racing news on Sky Sports Radio. This is Racing HQ.
Yes, we're broadcasting from the Spring Carnival launch here for the Australian Turf Club. It all rolls off from around 10:30, quarter to 11, and we're looking forward to bringing you all the colour. The Spring Carnival ambassadors are going to be announced in the function, which will be hosted by our very own Richard Friedman coming up a little while later in the morning. Glenn Munsey's here from tab.com.au. Morning to you, Muns.
Morning, Andrew. I don't actually get the opportunity to get down in the hub here of activity and the horse stalls and the swabbing area, and just down there, of course, is the veterinary lab.
The vet area, yes, yeah. Exactly. But we're down near the race stall area, and we're going to be talking to so many people through the morning. After 10 o'clock on Tab Talk, John Thompson's going to be dropping in to give us the latest on First Seal. And as I say, from after 10:30, we're going to be talking with Tommy Berry, Hugh Bowman, Gay Waterhouse, Peter Snowden, and anyone else that we can grab an arm of, Glenn, and bring them in.
Yeah, and also on Tab Talk, we'll talk a bit of AFL, because normally on a Thursday we have a look at AFL. Neil Cordy's going to join us, and a special guest, Andrew, a little bit left of centre today, because we're here at Randwick, and we're going to talk to Clark Little.
Who is Clark Little?
A lot of our older listeners would remember Clark Little. There was a jockey here at Randwick, but when Clark was actually going, he actually started or was owned the riding school in Centennial Park. Okay. And he'll be able to tell us a few stories about, I'd say, some jockeys that may have learnt their craft in Clark's riding school at Centennial Park. And now he's an equine artist.
Okay.
And, of course, it's Wyong Cup Day tomorrow.
Tomorrow, yeah.
Big day there at Wyong after they had their Ladies' Day last Sunday. And Clark is commissioned to paint the winner of the Wyong Cup.
Okay.
So it just goes to show you, Andrew, you've got many hidden talents that your sons have told me about and your wife's told me about, and you've managed to remain them hidden all throughout your marriage.
Please, get on with it. Get on with it. But we're looking forward to chatting to Clark, and, as you say, Neil Cordy and John Thompson will be joining us live here. Fields are all out yesterday for Randwick here on Saturday. The Chelmsford Stakes, the Tramway, the Furious. There's so many good races here on the weekend. And as I said to Sam Clippett and Glenn, they're sweating on Haraki getting a run in the Tramway for Godolphin. It's second or third emergency. So we're holding our breath for Godolphin, whether the Derby horse can get in.
Yeah, well, currently, Andrew, it sits as a $10 chance. First Seal, the favourite. You said we'll speak to John a little bit later.
Yep.
360 favourite there. Messini is at $7. Arabian Gold for Gay Waterhouse now, the new trainer of Arabian Gold at $8.
Yep.
And Haraki sits there with Lucia Valentina at $10. It's Somewhat, Sway Ness at $12. Flamingo Star, Strawberry Boy. It's like someone rang the bell, Andrew, and said, right, it's springtime, all your good horses, you know what you got to do now. Yep. You've got to lob to the races.
Yep, get out and enjoy it. Luke Marlowe's heading to Goulburn for racing today, just like Sam Clipperton, and he joins us for his best bet. Morning to you, Luke.
Yeah, good morning, Andrew. Good morning, Glenn. Down to Goulburn today. Looks like we'll have a nice day. It's moderately cloudy where I am at the moment, but the forecast for today at Goulburn's pretty well fine. The good thing today, I've found Sworn to Silence in race 5. I don't think he'll be fully wound up today, this horse, second up, but I thought his first up run was very good. He closed off well when resuming at Canterbury. He's been very well back pre-post. He's firmed up overnight. And we're talking about a horse who's been beaten 3 lengths in a Group 1. He raced in the Randwick Guineas last prep, finished 3.2 lengths behind Hallow Crown. Even though this distance might be a bit short of his best today, the 1,200, if he's anywhere near right, I think he'll be winning Sworn to Silence. Race 5, number 2. And the best roughie today, I thought, was in race 7, number 1, Jayco. I haven't got him on top, but around $20, he might be able to lead and give a bit of a sight there.
Right. Okay, well, currently Sworn to Silas, a 225 favourite in that fifth race there. Interesting that Sanzio, the second pick, which Sam is going down to ride, it was scratched from Canterbury yesterday to run here. It's the second pick at 320. Sankara Spirit at $4.40. And Jayco is currently a $17 chance. And that's a little bit apt. Andrew, we're sitting in a caravan here at the moment.
Yeah,
and,
could well
Jayco,
be. It could well
Jerry
be.
Ryan.
It could well be, exactly. All right, Luke, good luck today. Luke Marlowe joining us there, and Mark Hutter's online to get us a winner for Victorian Racing today. Where are we today, Mark? I'm out at Randwick. I've a bit forgotten here. I've left me paper back in the motel.
Down
where
the
are we today? Pakenham
Synthetic,
as I search for the race guide. What have you found for us?
I'm going for a Colin Little double here. The first one, race 2, number 1, Deputy Dan. This horse had the one start, ran second behind Mr. Individual at Bendigo. It gave that horse a big start and really peeled good ground off it late. It's trialled recently on the heavy track down at Cranbourne, sat behind them, wasn't asked to do a lot, and the winner's come out and was a fantastic winner on debut out of that trial. So, D. Oliver to ride. It's a pretty good little maiden. Darren Weir's horse goes well, but I reckon Deputy Dan can make a winning return.
All right, so that's race 2, number 1.
Yes, it's, well, at the moment, sorry, Mark, 320 on opening and 280 into 260. So some solid support. Mark's probably sold all his punters into it early before he come on to tip it.
No, well, he's tipping it now. Deputy Dan, that's right.
Not guilty.
No, exactly. No, he waits till he gets on air and presents them. Don't get stuck into him like that.
Okay.
Race 2, number 1. Where's your other one, Mark?
Race 4, number 2, Dragon Bridge. This is another one. It's in a two-horse race here. The only danger is number 9, Etymology. Dragon Bridge had the one start a while ago at Seymour. Had to duck and dive its way through the field from the back and really ran on well. It's had the recent heavy track trial down at Cranbourne, picked its way through the field and overpowered them late, strong to the line. I think first up, 1,400 metres is ideal. I'm certainly worried about the number 9, so you can save on the Quinella, but I think Dragon Bridge will run a terrific race there.
Okay. Yeah, currently the $3.80 second favourite behind the 9, which is Etymology, who's a $2.20 chance. Nautilus, number 12, there's at $4.60, and it's double figures and better the rest.
All right, so the two there for Pakenham Synthetic, race 2, number 1, and race 4, number 2. Thanks a lot, Mark. Good luck today.
Thanks, Andrew.
Mark Hunter joining us there with the latest on Pakenham Synthetic. We're broadcasting Sky Sports between now and around 1 o'clock from the Australian Turf Club Spring Carnival launch, which will unfold later on here in the morning. All the work's been done. I got here, Glenn, at about 6:45, and there were people just getting around the place like you wouldn't believe.
Yeah, well, you better take your joggers and your skins off, Andrew, before the luncheon, because you've done a couple of laps here at Randwick this morning. You're looking very, very trim.
No, I don't think so. I wandered down and saw some horses galloping on the tracks. That's as close as I got to exercise this morning. But Darren Pearce is joining us in our OB van, the CEO of the Australian Turf Club. Good to talk to you, Darren.
Welcome.
Mate, it's a big day for the club. I mean, we get through winter and it's been sort of one of those winters where we have rain, it's been cold. that we want to launch into it today and get going on Saturday?
Look, I think Saturday's fields would get everyone excited. It has been a long, cold winter. We sort of started the wet periods at the through autumn there, obviously, with the postponement of Derby Day, which was a real disappointment for everybody. But that sort of set us up for a long, cold and wet winter. But now we're through the other side. The last two Randwick meetings, the track's played in excellent order, and we're hoping for the same on Saturday. The weather forecast is kind, and yep, we've got crack field. So spring in everyone's step.
Yeah, bring it on. A couple of mil fell last night. We're going to talk to Naves Ramdani about that later in the morning. The Spring Carnival, you've done a lot of work here with race programming, haven't you, going forward to this year?
We have. Around the spring, like it started a few years ago when we moved the Spring Champion Stakes to be a standalone meeting after the Epsom meeting, and that's proved to be a real success, putting that after the football finals. And, you know, when racing's got this period in spring where it gets to the top of the Australian sporting pyramid, and moving that outside the football finals, really the attention of the sporting world is on racing.
Yep.
That's been a real success, and that day is really growing, and our pre-sales for this year are just skyrocketing again. So that double weekend at Randwick, the Epsom Super Saturday into the Mowat and Shandon Spring Champion Stakes meeting is really a time for Sydney racing to shine in the spring, and we've got some great lead-up programs with, you know, the George Main Stakes, now the Colgate Optic White, the Golden Rose, the Golden Pendant. There's some terrific racing leading into those, but they're the pinnacle weekends in Sydney racing, and we're really excited about it.
Darren, what's been the reaction from the trainers with the increase in the prize money? Now, you know, the Epsom worth $1 million. Have you been in contact with trainers that have said, well, I think we don't need Melbourne now, we're going to stay in Sydney for the Epsom?
Well, our hope was to bring back the glory days of the Epsom when the Doncaster winners wanted to back up, and we're hopeful that Kermadec will do that. It also used to be a really great stepping stone before horses went to Melbourne. The Epsom, they would run in that. They potentially go on to races like the Cox Plate, the Caulfield Cup, etc. in years gone by, and with the race at $500,000, that opportunity was often passed over by trainers, and they took their horses straight to Melbourne. But this year, where the nominations are anything to go by, it's going to be a super field, and we really want to put that race back up on the pedestal. It's Randwick is the home of Australia's great miles. The Epsom needs to be up on a pedestal with those Australia's best miles. And I think with $1 million prize money and the opportunity and the platform it provides for Sydney horses to go through to races that are features in Melbourne is tremendous.
Well, let's not forget about the Metropolitan either. Now we're $750,000. Metropolitan, you know, cast our mind back. Saintly got beat in the Metropolitan and didn't, went on to win the Cox Plate in the Melbourne Cup.
True, and, you know, Waller and O'Shea in particular have got really strong hands this year. They've got the horses at the top of the market, and they've both have got a knack over recent years of attracting those sort of international quality stayers and adapting them to Australian conditions, and that's really increased the depth of stay we have here in Australia. And what a great race it will be this year, and as I say, it's a terrific platform race for horses to step off to ultimately go to Melbourne for the Cups.
We're talking with Darren Pearce, the CEO of the Australian Turf Club. Darren, so the makeup of the spring, we race Saturday, and then we at the bookend, it's the Melbourne Cup Day. But in between, how many? There's five or six meetings now?
Yeah, there is. So at Rose Hill, the two feature meetings are the Golden Rose and the Golden Pendant. They're, you know, obviously fantastic races. The Golden Pendant is a race that we think we can get to Group 1. It's increased to 400,000 this year in Group 2, but it's a race that's really growing in ratings and prominence. There's no Group 1 fillies and mares race in Sydney in the spring, so we're trying to do sort of replicate the success we have in the autumn with races like the Coolmore and the Queen of the Turf in the spring to do that. So that's a day that we're promoting. We're having our inaugural Women in Racing lunch on that day to tap into that theme. It's also got races like the Stan Fox, which is a tremendous race for horses potentially going for the Caulfield Guineas, or races like you know, the Norman Robinson and the Amy Vars, etc., into Melbourne. You know, the Golden Pendant stands alone now as a really premium and exciting race for our very best three-year-old colts, and occasionally a filly that comes through, like Forensics, for example. But we're hopeful this year that we'll draw together the very best three-year-olds available and get a terrific race. And then sort of it moves to Randwick, and we've got a tremendous Group 1 program. You know, the Colgate Optic White Stakes Day, which was formerly the George Main Epsom Super Saturday, which has three Group 1s, the Spring Champion. But we've moved a few races to Randwick this year. Rose Hill is going through a $30 million refresh.
Grandstand work, yep.
It's given us the opportunity to move a couple of races in the autumn to Randwick. So Men of Leagues Cox Plate Day will be here at Randwick this year, and you know, City Tats Day in the middle. So we've got four Saturdays of super racing in October here at Randwick, and look, we think that we'll do really well. The early signs are really positive.
Well, mate, the early signs that we've had the last couple of meetings here, the standout performer's been the track. And I think it's just gone to show, if we can get the right weather here, the track's going to be all right. Now, we had, actually, probably a few complaints two meetings ago that the track was too firm. Imagine saying in Sydney that we had a track that was too firm, especially at Randwick. I played good the other day. Just this little bit of rain every now and then, and this is the time of year that you really want it for this track to jump out of the ground.
It's really healthy at the moment, so I've just looking at it and talking to the team, it's in really good health. It's probably one of the best I've seen it in my 10 years here at Randwick for this time of the year. So tribute to Lindsay and Nevesh and the tracks team. They've got it in tremendous shape. It has raced really well the last two Saturdays. We're expecting it to race well again this Saturday. You know, with the 3 mils of rain overnight, it still stayed a soft five.
But not far. Nevesh is pretty confident with the forecast. There's meant to be few showers this Arvo, but then it's reasonably clear. He's confident of still getting to good.
Yeah, wouldn't it be great to have it at, you know, a good four, good three on Saturday and playing really true? That's what we're hopeful of. And, you know, we've got really good fields and a tremendous quality of horses that are really going to make our spring. So let's hope we give them every advantage on the track on Saturday.
Well, mate, we get good weather, a good track. We've got the good horses. Mm. We've got to get the people to get here. Now, yeah. What do? Do we corral them somewhere and push them through the gates? You know, we can't do enough for them to get them to the races, can we?
No, there's, you know, we measure the off-course and the on-course audience, but you really want owners, punters, administrators, they all want that life and vibrancy on race days, and that's about the crowd you attract and the event that you put on. And we're doing a lot of promotions. I think Tony Partridge might be coming
we'll
to talk
about
those a little bit yep. later, but... You know, we Randwick in spring with good weather, it works. So we're really confident, and the pre-sales are really positive, and we would think that on those feature days we're going to get crowds exceeding 20,000 plus. We're going to have real life and real vibrancy and atmosphere, and that's going to make everyone excited to be here.
Do you rate that as a pass mark, 20,000?
Yeah, in this day and age, yeah. Hmm. And yeah. Particularly for spring, with the spring, the budget we have in spring for promotion is less than we have in autumn. You know, but spring really works. There's this whole, like I said, racing climbs to the top of the sporting pyramid in Australia in spring. It has that moment where the football codes are off and cricket hasn't started, and racing really is the sport in town. So that works for us, and we get really, really productive race days.
I want to talk about Saturday. Obviously, we've had a sad week with the passing of Bart Cummings, but the club is paying your own special tribute to the Cups King on Saturday.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, our condolences obviously go to the Cummings family. And I've been in contact with Anthony quite a bit this week, and we're helping them with a number of arrangements. But on Saturday, we want to celebrate and pay tribute to the life of the great Bart Cummings. He, you know, having met him and sat with him and spoken to him, the wisdom and the wit, and the cheeky sense of humour.
Yes, the one-liners, you know, the dry wit.
He was so so dapper and so knowledgeable about everything racing. And just for someone who's been a racing fan for a long time, I just remember when I first got into racing, he had horses like Bo's M. And then year in and year out, there was just this procession of champions, you know, Shaftesbury Avenues and Let's Elopes. And, you know, so even in latter days, Saintlys and So You Thinks. But just every year Bart was there, and he was at the top of the tree, and he always had a hero horse that that punters and racing fans looked up to. So, you know, the racing industry owes a great debt of gratitude to Bart. And what about the dynasty? You know, Anthony, you know, James and Edward coming through the system, and James, you know, we're all really proud to see what James did yesterday. That was fantastic. Okay. So there'll be a whole lot of special acknowledgements, you know.
I can't wait to see the grass in a special colour.
Yeah, well,
I can only think of one or two colours relevant to Bart, but to see it on a grass would be fantastic.
Yeah, with some special messaging. Obviously, the race book, we've, you know, asked special permission to have precedence lead out the Chelmsford field. He's been the sort of one of the mainstays of the stable over the past few years, and obviously a real Melbourne Cup warrior, and that's the race that, you know, really helped build Bart's legend, winning those 12 Cups. So that'll be really nice. Tribute books, floral tributes. We've got our Heritage Society going around and pulling out a lot of the portraits we have of some of Bart's great champions that are on the walls.
Okay.
So we can have, you know, memories of that around the place as well.
And there'll be
condolence books for the for Bart's, you know, friends and fans to sign.
Yeah.
So a whole lot of, you know, the Sky Channel production you did on
Tuesday.
Bart's life that was shown this week. We'll be showing that around the race course during the day. And, you know, it's a sad time in racing to lose a legend like Bart, but I think everyone also wants to celebrate the legacy and his contribution to racing, and it'll be a blend of both on Saturday.
Yeah. And I think I read he's been training at Randwick, or was training at Randwick, since 1975. And
Correct,
I could probably only think of one trainer still actively training at Randwick would be Les Bridge that would have been here longer.
Okay.
Yeah, and Les, of course, well, Les had stables off course, but that would be the only trainer, I think, still here now that would be here longer than 40 years.
Yeah, that'd be right. That'd be my guess as well.
Yeah, like jockeys like Kevin Moses and Ronnie Quinton and our training have been here, you know, apprentice and riding the Lee boys and things like that, but not training constantly here at Randwick.
I think the only one who might rival is Mick Stanley.
Yes.
Stanley, the clerk of the courses, been around for a similar... He was in... he started out in TJ Stables, I believe, around that time, So Mick's one of those guys who's seen it all in racing as well.
Mate, hive of activity out here as we broadcast near the race day stalls. Randwick, people who are preparing...
you're riding off that coffee machine.
Well,
that's what
I am,
you're riding
I
off.
Am.
I know
but
that.
I'm looking out here. The workmen are finishing up. Now, Darren, I've been here since 7. They've washed that concrete 4 times since I've been here. I don't know what they can spot on it, but it's going to be clean for when people get here in an hour's time.
All with recycled water, of course, Darren. They're not using up... There's no water restrictions here at the moment. I haven't seen the gardens looking as good since Norman Munsey was the head gardener just out the back here, Andrew, charge from the fig tree up to the gates there.
Now he was the king of the roses.
He was. And there's actually a plaque to Dad here, for courtesy of the AJC, and at that stage in the gardens up there, so very, very honoured to have that here for him.
Now, Darren, just finally, this morning, the launch, you're going to be announcing your Spring Carnival Ambassadors. There'll be a lot of racing people, which we're going to talk to through the morning, but we're going to talk to non-racing people as well, because while we love racing, there's so much colour to Spring Carnival time.
Absolutely. It's a fun time of the year. You know, one of the things that sort of... Autumn racing is quite serious, if I could use that term.
It's championship time.
Yeah, correct. Yeah. And spring racing, there's a lot of fun, a lot of social, and as I said, people are really in that optimistic spring mode. So, you know, it's, as well as great racing, there's a great event, and there's a lot of event goers. And we try and obviously speak to the racing people first and foremost. They're the people that put on the show week in, week out, and bring that. But at springtime, we can create a great carnival atmosphere by introducing those social and fashion elements, and we obviously want to give precedence to both of those things in spring.
Yep. And still a little bit of tradition, Darren, in springtime. Of course, autumn time was Easter time, but people came from the country to the Royal Easter Show and made a point of coming to the races. And this time of year, it was always the people coming from the country for the grand final and that of the rugby league, and it was a point that they always came to the races the same.
Absolutely, and we've got a special promotion on with the NRL this year for the Rugby League Grand Final ticket holders on Epsom Super Saturday, so they can make a full weekend of it in Sydney. And, you know, with the Broncos and Cowboys running second and third on the ladder, there's an opportunity that there'll be a lot of Queenslanders in town looking to make a full weekend of fun around the Grand Final weekend. So if we can bring those audiences together, it's usually a lot of fun. They usually bring a lot of life and atmosphere to the race day, and they usually like a punt, so it's probably good for the TAB
Super Saturday
as well.
This year will be AFL Grand Final Day as well, because that weekend is AFL Grand Final Saturday, NRL Sunday, so there'll be plenty of televisions there if people want to come.
Correct, we're working with the AFL and Channel 7 for a live site for the coverage for the AFL Grand Final, so we can integrate all of that.
Who knows, the Swans might be there, so you never know.
Well, they're high up on the ladder, obviously. The Dockers and the Hawks, you know, are going to be hard to beat. When those teams are on, they're very hard to beat. But let's hope the Swans can do it for Sydney.
Now, I'm nervous asking one question, but I'm going to ask it because I think a lot of people would like to know. Kensington, I spoke to you a couple of weeks ago about it. Where does it sit at the moment, the future of the Kensington track?
We've been obviously disappointed with the way it's performed, but we've been putting a lot of time and energy together with Racing New South Wales into rehabilitating the track. So at the moment, we think that we need to give that rehabilitation one last chance through spring. The turf, it looks very healthy on the surface, but it underneath the root system and the root system's connection with the Netlon mesh in the Strathair track has been the challenge. So we're just trying to see if we can stimulate that growth through the spring and re-stabilise the track to give it the body it needs to hold together.
Yeah.
So when horses gallop over it, you're not seeing that kickback.
Yeah.
There's two theories on the outcome of that. One is that there's a bit of a shear layer between the Netlon mesh and the type of roots that Kaiku throw, and that's the problem. And there's another that we need to feed and manage the plant differently so that the roots grow through that Netlon mesh. So now that we've, as you say, we've had a lot of rain through the autumn and winter, and we're coming into a spring, and conditions are certainly turning more favourable.
Yeah.
There was just that one last chance to re-establish that root system into that net through spring and summer.
Yep.
So we're giving it one last shot, and if it doesn't improve and we find that there are structural issues, then we'll move to replace the track. But we're putting a very intensive program of management into it to see if we can rehabilitate it for that one last time. As you've seen, we've been using it for trials and special gallops.
Yep.
And it's been handling it, a couple of sets of trials just okay. But it is improving from week to week, so it's sort of the last throw of the dice for us now to manage, now that we've learnt through these last 2 years how to manage it and what sort of feeding programs and treatments it responds to give it that one last crack to re-establish itself, and if it can, tremendous. If it can't, then we start again.
We'll wait and see what happens. Let's hope it can kick in. Spring Carnival launch, mate. You got your notes there. You're ready to go. Have you got some sort of speech to do with Richard Friedman hosting it this morning?
A little welcome, but I'm quite confident that Richard will say all my lines and I'll be left standing there like...
surely he wouldn't do that. And I mean, Richard surely would get here early so he can go through, so he wouldn't double up. He wouldn't be arriving.
What time does it start?
I'll give you 10 to 1, Ben. You'd have as much on as you like.
Anyway, we're looking forward to it all unfolding out here, and we'll be updating through the morning. We thank you for allowing us to come and do this morning. We've had some slight technical issues, but we're on air, and that's fantastic. And we thank you for letting us come down.
Really appreciate your support as always. Great to have you on board.
Good on you, Darren. Darren Pearce, the CEO of the Australian Turf Club. A little break at 4 minutes to 10.